WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Another man has been arrested for assault during the August 12th white supremacist rally. He'll be extradited to Charlottesville. As National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month draws to a close, an event in Charlottesville brings in the dancing cop from America's Got Talent to help teach recognizing suicidal behavior in others. And we meet the ophthalmologist celebrating his 80th birthday by putting on his own piano concert of Chopin's music. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, September 29th.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College, offering small classes, student clubs, sports, and financial aid while living close to family and friends. Registration for the fall semester is happening now at the Weir's Cave campus or online at brcc.edu.
Authorities have arrested an Indiana man on an assault and battery warrant for allegedly punching a man and woman who were demonstrating against last month's white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. 37-year-old Dennis L. Motherspaugh of Vernon in southern Indiana was arrested Thursday. He's being held in the Jennings County Jail pending extradition to Charlottesville. The Columbus Republic reports that Virginia authorities issued the warrant for Motherspaugh after cell phone video surfaced on social media showing him marching with white supremacists and punching a man and a woman protesting against them. Motherspaugh is accused of being with a group violently demonstrating against the scheduled removal of the statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from Emancipation Park, formerly called Lee Park. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini talked with the coordinator of the Lock and Talk Virginia campaign, Rebecca Texter, about an event today at Piedmont Virginia Community College.
When we think about National Suicide Prevention Month, what we really want to do is to remember those that we've lost to suicide and support those who are survivors of suicide, but also give some hopeful messaging on things that we can do practically to help our communities be safer from suicide.
That's Rebecca Texter, the program coordinator for the Lock and Talk Virginia campaign.
And that is mostly about lethal means safety and keeping firearms and also medications locked and safe. We know that the two main means of suicide in our region are going to be protected in a household.
Today is their third annual event called The Strength It Takes at PVCC from 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The speakers are Dr. Jerry Reed, director of the National Suicide Prevention Resource Center, and Lieutenant Dante Diggs, who will talk about his own difficulties growing up.
He's also known as the dancing cop. He's actually been on America's Got Talent. He has a lot of energy, and he wants to talk about getting through those hard times. And then he also is going to speak a little bit about how he handles suicide behavior in law enforcement.
There will also be a one-hour training on preventing suicide. For WMRA News, I'm Marguerite Gallerini.
The candidates in Virginia's closely watched race for governor all promised to change the state's tax code. Republican Ed Gillespie is promising an across-the-board cut on income taxes. Democrat Ralph Northam vows to cut grocery sales taxes for the poor, and Libertarian Cliff Hira wants to ban some local business taxes. But promising tax reform is a lot easier than enacting it. Once elected, competing special interests and political concerns have hampered past efforts, and past governors have not always lived up to their campaign promises. Some cash advance operators thrive by charging exorbitant interest rates to desperate consumers and trapping them in a cycle of debt. Well, now some elected officials are fighting back. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
Like many people who find themselves in a cycle of debt, Tina Hanlon had a series of mounting medical bills. So she took out several internet loans, and then she needed money to pay off those. So she walked into a local neighborhood Allied Cash Advance and took out an open-end line of credit.
I didn't feel triumphant or like I had done something great. No, I actually felt like I don't know what kind of problem I may have just created for myself, but it takes care of the problem I'm having right now.
When Allied suddenly changed the terms of the loan, she got suspicious. So she took her paperwork over to Dana Wiggins at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, and she started working with Attorney General Mark Herring, who is now suing Allied in Richmond Circuit Court.
We're very pleased to see that the AG took this stand. I think it's a benefit for all the consumers who are getting loans in this open-ended credit space who may think that they have more protections than they actually have.
The Attorney General's lawsuit is part of a larger story. Elected officials cracking down on loans they say are predatory. Over the summer, industry leaders met with elected officials to find some kind of new consumer protections, limitations that might prevent people from falling into a never-ending cycle of debt. Those negotiations are still ongoing in advance of the General Assembly session early next year. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, many of us celebrate a birthday with a meal out at a favorite restaurant or a party with cake and presents. But retired Charlottesville ophthalmologist Arnold Popkin will celebrate his birthday by playing a concert at Charlottesville's First Presbyterian Church on Sunday afternoon. WMRA's Kimberly Daggy has more.
Dr. Arnold Popkin has played piano since he was 3 years old, and there's no sign of him stopping anytime soon.
Going to be 80, still in reasonably good health, and for the fact that I could still play the piano about as well or maybe even better than I ever did before. So that was a strong feeling of gratitude that started it. And then I said, maybe I ought to do a big concert in honor of this occasion.
He'll play this concert, as he has in the past, entirely from memory.
I always play solo music by memory. Memory is always the one thing everybody's scared of, but I think that if you don't play by memory, you don't really know it, and it's less distraction. I'd like to feel that when I'm playing, I'm actually composing the piece almost as I do it. It's like coming out of me.
And after 70 years of playing, Popkin is not playing it safe.
Chopin has always been my favorite composer. I play him well, I've been told, and a lot of audiences love Chopin. I tried to put things together that would be the right timing and the right one to follow the others. Basically, I've picked three or four of the slower lyrical pieces, and I've used those to follow a more advanced, faster, dramatic piece.
Popkin began playing music by Chopin at the age of 8, and he's just as enamored with the Polish composer today as he was 70 years ago.
Chopin is really an amazing composer. He combines so many things. First of all, he writes beautiful melodies and lyrical music. His rhythms are interesting. Three of the pieces I'm playing are actually dance forms, a mazurka, a polonaise, and a waltz. It has different rhythms. Some of the big pieces have a lot of drama and emotion and feeling in them. And he seems to have lasted over the years, amazingly, since he died in 1849. Some composers sort of go out of fashion, and I don't think he ever has.
Popkin seriously studied piano and even participated in the first ever Van Cliburn International Amateur Piano Competition.
I did not advance to the high realms, but I got a wonderful write-up in the Fort Worth paper that said I played with rare interpretive intelligence, so I thought that was worth the whole thing.
But at that level, why not make a career out of it?
I was never a big practicer. I always hated technical exercises. And I knew at a fairly young age, even though I was quite a good pianist, that it was not going to be a career. When I was maybe 10 or 12, the word balance was my key word in life. And I knew that I didn't have the personality or the drive to become a concert pianist. I wouldn't like practicing 6 or 8 hours a day and having little opportunity to do anything else.
So why did you choose ophthalmology?
Well, I chose medicine first, and it was not until my last year of medical school that I switched what I thought I was going to do, go into internal medicine. Had some wonderful lectures on ophthalmology, and within about a month I switched and have never regretted it.
The piano may have taken a backseat to ophthalmology, professionally speaking, but Popkin has continued to hone his piano skills.
The most important thing on the piano, I think, is voicing of the chords and notes, how to make the right one stand out and have the others all in the right proportion. And that's something that you have to hear and feel.
And different fingers are playing different volumes.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So it's like a quartet of singers. One has the melody and the others have to be just in the right proportion. And when it's right, it's just beautiful. I've always wondered, when you hear a super pianist play a simple line of something and it's unbelievably gorgeous, what did they do? It's very hard to figure out. You just know it and feel it.
Popkin will celebrate his 80th birthday by playing an all Chopin concert at First Presbyterian Church in Charlottesville on Sunday afternoon at 3. For WMRA News, I'm Kimberly Daggy.
Learn more about Dr. Popkin's career and Sunday's concert at WMRA.org. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Friday.